Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome Tara Meyer Robson. As a former benefits executive, Tara worked with hospitals, corporations, and organizations of every size to create programs that increased morale, reduced costs, and helped employees become more well. In this capacity, Tara noticed that some people were successful at changing their lives or healing their bodies using positive training programs, while others, trying the exact same improvement techniques, had negative patterns, bad habits, and ill health that they could not seem to alter. Determined to discover the core connection between life experiences, belief patterns, and manifested disease, Tara devoted 5 years to studying psychology, quantum physics, energetic medicine, anatomy and physiology, and philosophy. Her focus paid off. She finally made the scientific breakthrough that became the Flow Method, a remarkable transformation and healing program that works for all people everywhere. This breakthrough also became the basis for Tara's best-selling book, The Flow, 40 Days to Total Life Transformation, which has won 2 national awards. It was a finalist in the Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Awards and number one of Soul Salon International's Top 10 Books for Awakening in 2009. So let me welcome Tara. Tara, how are you tonight? Tara, you know what? I think I've got the wrong area code here again. Let me check in. Tara, can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to open everybody's mics. I think I've got the wrong area code.
Hello?
Is that Tara?
No.
Okay. There's Deanna. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, David.
Yeah. Okay. Area code 916, who do I have, please?
Hi, David. It's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Good. Well, I'm just checking. I'm trying to find Tara, so hang in there. You're caller number 3.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm real excited about tomorrow's show, too.
Oh, yes, Kat's wonderful. Okay, I think we have a technical difficulty, but let's see what happens here. Okay, area code 860, who are you, please?
This is Amla.
Hi, Amla, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. You're caller number 2, Amla.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I could swear Tara's area code 904, and I've got that mic open. No, it closed.
Hi,
Tara,
David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Oh, yay!
Yes, I... Yeah, that was really strange. And area code 865, sorry I didn't get to you, you're caller number 1. And Deanna, you're number 4, and 707 that just called in is caller number 5. We're going to talk to Tara for a while about her book and some other things before we take your calls. Tara is a medical intuitive, and Tara, you want to tell us a little bit what that means?
Yeah, so the way that I tend to work is that I didn't realize for a long time, and I think that's very true for anyone who happens to be empathetic or an empathic person or an intuitive person. You know, I was the person that everybody came to when they had problems or they, you know, had things going on, and I could kind of just have a sense of what needed to be done to fix things. And I didn't really put that together as intuition because it just seemed like, well, that's just, I just assumed everybody did it, truthfully, because I didn't know any different, you know. And then as I began to sort of study and realize that I had more of a sense of the connection between people's life experiences and what was going on in their physical body, and that's when I really started to realize and come to the awareness that I could help people from both a really logical. So the way that I work tends to be both very, very logical and very intuitive. So there's a lot of science basis to what I do, but there's also the uh-huh. intuitive aspect as I sort of put together the pattern that's going on in someone's life.
Well, that gives you a little more ammunition than somebody that just speaks about themselves as an intuitive. Mm-hmm. And it sounds done a tremendous amount of study.
Yes, I did. No, I did do that. My husband was calling me the nutty professor for quite a while.
Tell us what the flow method is.
So the flow method really came from a health crisis, as most things do for people that work in this field. And I ended up developing mononucleosis, which turned into chronic fatigue syndrome because I didn't listen to myself and I didn't take time off. And quite honestly, it was not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. So I was told by a doctor that, you know, okay, well, now you got to deal with this. You're just going to have to feel this way and be this way for the rest of your life. And I don't take direction from authority very well. So, and also inside myself, I thought, you know, that's crazy. You know, I know I can figure this out. And so I started to delve into everything I could get my hands on, just as you said at the beginning. And what happened was I kind of put this last piece of the puzzle together, and I realized that I could develop out the basis of the flow method is really about a 7-part questionnaire test assessment, diagnostic assessment, and it'll actually pinpoint the underlying subconscious beliefs, and again, very unconscious, we are not aware this is going on, as well as life experiences that are sort of manifesting in someone's life due to these unconscious beliefs that have been programmed in for a very, very long time. Quite often, they are from as far back as childhood, although illnesses can certainly come out of traumatic events, and that can be pretty obvious when somebody has that happen. And so by taking that test, it pinpoints in which of those 7 areas of their mind, their body, and their life they're holding, as I call it, out-of-the-flow beliefs. And it helps them then to go immediately to a workbook section that is quite specific to what's going on with them individually. One of the things I noticed with a lot of, you know, how-to books or self-help books is they do tend to be a bit more one-size-fits-all, but we aren't one-size-fits-all. Each person's individual patterns and life experiences and the diseases indeed that they're dealing with or pain they're dealing with are quite individual. And so they need an individualized action plan, not a real step-by-step how-to. And that's really where the methodology comes in. It literally takes people directly to what they need, and then it takes them completely through a personalization process of an action plan of how to basically, as I call it, retune these underlying issues going on. And the one thing I do want to say before we do anything else, because this is a big soapbox issue for me, is that I always like to say you are not consciously creating disease. Okay, so nobody's walking around going, I really, really want this or that. But you can use it. You know what I mean? Because I see, unfortunately,
Do we manifest disease?
Right, and so it tends to be at a very much unconscious level where literally the programming in the mind ends up being, as I call it, tuned, very much like tuning a piano key or tuning your radio station into a certain radio, you know, you're tuning your radio dial into a certain radio station. It's exactly the same. It's literally, we have what I call favorites, essentially tuned in on our brain. And those favorites are scanning all the frequencies of everything that's going on in the world. And they're looking for things that are matches. And so if we, for instance, have a pattern of picking the same person to date again and again and again, and we're so frustrated because it's like, why do I keep picking that same person to date over and over again? It's literally some bad programming. And it's
yeah.
have this frequency tuned in. And once you shift that, well, then you start tuning into a completely different set of experiences. And the same is true for disease. What I usually see with people is that they've had some very longstanding underlying beliefs, and then oftentimes patterns of experiences that have come out of these underlying beliefs that have only reinforced that sort of negative frequency, which ends up manifesting as diseases that are oftentimes so literal. Like, oftentimes I'll start laughing because I think, I'll say to people, I don't think you need me for this. Like, this is so literally what your body is saying. Like, I don't need to translate, but I will. Like, so it can be literally like that specific.
What about the genetics of disease? Does that mean that we can't escape something we're born with?
Not in my experience, and there's actually some really fascinating studies that are going on and have been going on actually in the past few years, talking about how we actually turn on and off genetic components in our bodies. There's a really fascinating study that I will try to find, and I will link somewhere on my page on this. I know I can find it because it's in my save stuff. There's a really fascinating study where they actually were able to prove that based on the affection of the mother, certain DNA particles basically were turned on or off. So certain genetic markers were actually turned on or off in the child. So if the parent was affectionate, things oftentimes that could have been problematic were turned off. And if the parent was distant or not affectionate, things that were problematic were oftentimes sort of turned on. And that's rather fascinating because it really does talk about that emotional connection to what we can do within our own bodies about turning things like that on and off.
Now, as far as the people in the employees that you were talking about that I mentioned earlier in the program, can you share some examples of how people were successful at changing their lives and what kinds of things they did that it helped ending up curing their ailments?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So this is not an employee, but this one is probably my favorite because it was one of those situations with somebody who was just came from like, this cannot possibly be true, and then suddenly was like, oh my gosh. So this one was interesting. I gave a talk at a conference, and then after the talk, I was just sitting out in the audience with some other people, and there was this nice guy. We got paired up for some sort of exercise. I don't remember what it was, and he was this little hockey player from like the Bronx, and or Brooklyn, I think it was. And he, you know, so he had a little tough guy, you know, all that. And he's looking at me. He's like, I don't know about this mind body stuff. You know, I think it's kind of, you know, not true. And I said, well, that's fine. You know, you don't have to believe it. That's completely your call. And he's like, and then you could tell he wanted to talk about something. So he said, so he looks at me and says, well, you know, I am having some pain. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what's going on? And he goes, well, I think it was a hockey accident. And I said, it could absolutely be a hockey accident. So I'm like, what's going on? So essentially, he was having this really severely aching pain in his left shoulder. And I said, okay, well, you know, when's it worse? Like, what's going on with it that's physically going on? And he's like, well, when I try to raise my arm out front of me, I can only raise it about halfway. I can't raise it all the way out. So if you can imagine the visual, it's literally like he was reaching out, so to speak, for someone, but he couldn't. So I'm like, okay, and you know, when did it start? And he said it started about 8 weeks ago. And then he goes back to, I think it was a hockey accident. I said, okay, well, it could have been. But I said, my guess is that there's a woman in your life that you would like to reach out and grab and pull back to you, and you're heartbroken over it. It probably happened 8 to 10 weeks ago, would be my guess. I said, because usually those kinds of things that come on quickly are fairly quick. And he looked at me, and he shrugged his shoulders and said, well, can I say upset instead of heartbroken? Whatever you need to do, buddy.
Right, right.
Sure, you know, it was just so, it was still that like macho guy thing. Like, I can't say heartbroken, but I can
right.
say upset. Like, I'm upset.
Right.
So I laughed,
right.
and I'm like, sure, no problem. And what had happened was he had his daughter was 18, and she has a fiercely independent streak, as he said, just like him. And she had decided to move out with her boyfriend, and he didn't want her to go, thought she was making a bad decision, was making a decision like he had in his life, thought it was too early, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which caused the pain and the inability to reach completely out forward. So that was a neat one. That was a really neat one. Usually I can tell if with someone with pain, pain in specific, if we hit the right thing, if we figure out exactly what the body is trying to tell us, usually the pain will go away during that session. So in that case, like, the pain went away and he was able to start moving his arm again. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have work to do after that, but it was just a acknowledgement that, yes, okay, we hit the right thing, and now, you know, there's other work to be done. So that one was a really funny and interesting one, because he went from, you know, that real tough guy, this can't possibly be true, to, oh, you know what, maybe there was something to that after all.
That's an amazing story. I like that. I'm wondering, how successful can people be at treating their illnesses by retraining their minds?
I've seen things, completely honestly, David, I am blown away continuously. I think we have so much more power within our minds than we comprehend. And even in doing this work, I cannot, like, I am honestly stunned over and over again by how literally, and I often say to people, it's like learning a foreign language. It's like when you first hear the foreign language, you're like, what is this? This is nuts. I don't know what they're saying, etc. But once you learn the foreign language, you learn the words and their meanings, you get it and you understand. And the body is the same way. It's literally trying to talk to us and say, this is what's off specifically. And if we just start to learn the language of the body, we can listen. And by listening, we can begin to heal. I've seen people heal from things that I had a woman that I worked with a few years ago who called me up, and she had something I'd never heard of in my life. And I had told her, she'd reached out to me, and I was like, you know, let's do like a 20-minute quick session just to make sure that I'm the right person for you. And if I'm not, then I will refer you. And it was something called loin pain hematuria. And it was basically her right kidney was severely swollen to the point that it was, and as you can imagine, kidneys can be quite painful. And it was so painful, she'd be in bed for like 2 weeks at a time. And on top of that, when she actually had blood in her urine on top of it. So it was like, and she had been told that this was likely terminal. It's a very, very rare disease, but that, you know, we might be looking at 6 months. And I was like, you know, that's, when someone calls you with that, that's pretty, you know, serious. So
yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, it's intense. And, you know, you want to help. But at the same time, if I couldn't help, I wanted to know that quickly so I could get her to somebody that could. So she tells me this, and I said, okay, what exactly does the pain feel like? And she's like, it's an ache, but sometimes it almost feels like, you know, like a punching. And oftentimes we use words that are so, like, we're actually saying, that's why sometimes I'm like, I don't think you need me. That's, you're actually saying what's going on. So she tells me all of this, and I said, okay, who's the toxic man in your life? And there was this huge pause, and quite honestly, David, I thought she hung up on me. I thought, I was like, oh no, I've offended her. I don't know what, you know, and then all of a sudden, finally, I say her name, and I said, are you okay? Like, are you there? And she said, how did you know that? And I was like, you know, your body is telling me that. So it was the right side, which tends to be male. The kidneys, as we know, if anybody's ever taken like martial arts or boxing, you know, there's the kidney shot. Kidneys are like one of our weakest points. And the kidney also is used to detoxify our bodies. You know, things go through. So it's also a detoxifying area in the body. So I knew that this was probably an abusive guy. And she said something about, you know, feeling like it was almost aching and punching. And I thought, okay, so there's some sort of likely verbal abuse, but possibly physical abuse. And then, of course, when with the blood actually coming out of the body, when we think about blood, it's from our cardiovascular, and our cardiovascular system is very much tied to our emotions, our emotional state, our heart center. We, you know, again, we use these kinds of words, you know, my heart is broken, meaning that's, so we know that's our emotion center. And so for me, that immediately meant that what was going on with this man was literally like sort of bleeding the joy out of her life. Like it was just seeping out of her. And indeed, that's exactly what was happening. She was unfortunately in a relationship with a very, very mean dude. And and through some pretty intense work, she was able to completely recover. And is, in fact, we're still in contact. But that was, I think, about 6-7 years ago, I think. But that one was, again, that one was very neat. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. If you understand, like, the way the body is trying to tell you something, then, and when you know how to put those pieces together, a lot like a puzzle, you can quickly pick up the picture and say, okay, here's what's going on, and now here's what we need to do to help you heal. And yeah, she had to do some pretty intense work, as you can imagine, needless to say. But I can say she got to the other side of it and was healthy and whole and happy, so that's good.
Yeah, that's another amazing story. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, she's a neat lady, a neat, neat lady. I mean, you know, it's funny because anybody, you know, and I'm sure you're the exact same way. When you come into contact with people and in your heart, you know, really all you want to do is be able to help. And when you can help and you can, and I always tell people, you know, I don't heal people. People, they heal, they take what I give them and they do the work. So
right.
I help, I translate, but they're healing themselves. I'm not doing it. And I think you feel a really great sense of pride, just as you do when you've helped somebody with anything. I think you feel a great sense of pride when you see someone evolve in that way and take back their power in that way and be able to actually get through it and heal.
Well, I have other questions to ask you, but I'm just wondering, in terms of the callers, what kinds of questions you would take from them.
Sure. I am more than happy to take, you know, any questions somebody wants to go with. I am more than happy to try to answer some the best of my ability. So,
okay, great. Well, hang in there, callers. We've got 5 of you there. We'll see how many we can get to. I want to talk to Tara a little bit more about thought processes and what other benefits mm-hmm. can come from changing a person's thought process.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, so like just in some of those examples I was saying, so we have to change our life experiences in order to change certainly the health. But what I have found in working with I don't know how many people is, and just in the research that I did, is that for me, the negative pattern of life experiences. So if you start to see a pattern of life experiences that are repeating themselves, that are problematic, if you keep having friends that betray you, if you keep having, you know, as I say, choosing the same kind of boyfriend again and again, if you keep ending up at the same kind of work where you're underappreciated, if you find yourself with negative habits that are, you keep doing again and again, any of those things are red flags for me. So for me, the belief pattern comes first. So you've got these underlying beliefs that have been sort of coded in from very, very, very oftentimes very early in your life. You don't even realize, so you keep tuning into these experiences. If you can catch it at the level, if you can bring your awareness to the fact that you can say, hey, that's a negative pattern going on there. Something underlying is tuning me into this. Then you can stop the progression to the disease aspect. For me, the disease aspect tends to be the final flag of you're not listening to the negative pattern aspect. Okay, fine, we're just tuning into this, and now we've got pain, now we've got disease, whatever. It's always, if you can catch it at the life experience standpoint, then you can change things before it actually turns into a health pattern. You can literally change all kinds of things. I talk a lot about triggers because especially this time of year, New Year's resolutions, right? And we all think we lack willpower when we don't stay on whatever insane program we've given ourselves, you know, as of January 1, you know. And we think, okay, I lack willpower, I lack whatever. But the truth is, because these things have been programmed in, then they're literally, you have a trigger set to react in a habitual way. And that trigger has been set for a very long time. An example is, I had a woman who came to me and she was absolutely beside herself. She could not stop eating junk food. She wanted to eat healthy. And she wanted to eat healthy. And certainly there's the chemicals that could have been addictive and all that. But there's, this poor woman was so, this poor thing, she was just so beside herself. And I'm like, okay, let's start looking at what are your triggers for eating the junk food. And what we figured out, she would do great. Like, she could stay on her plan until 3 o'clock every afternoon. 3 o'clock had been programmed in her brain as the time that she went to the vending machine and got like ho-hos. So that was literally for her, when 3 o'clock happened, it was like it shone a light into her brain and everything in her entire body programmed to react this way, reacted, I must go to the vending machine and get something, you know? And so what we had to do was reprogram that trigger and be able to say now 3 p.m. equals this. Now that usually that reprogramming of a trigger such as that is about 40 days of repetitively doing this and not beating ourselves up when we go back on things. Another interesting one that was also a trigger is I did a talk recently for a cancer support network, and there was this lovely older couple sitting in the front row, and she was telling me that she had had, and it was actually right about Christmas time, I guess, last year, and she said she had had this incident early in December where she had all of a sudden just couldn't breathe on their normal 2-mile daily walk that they did every single day, never had a problem. She literally said she felt like she had like an elephant on her chest and could not breathe, couldn't catch her breath. Anyways, she went through test after test after test. Nothing was really showing as anything major, and yet there was still this really scary reaction. And so we started to talk, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, it would either, we use these words, it took my breath away. That can be a good thing. You know, somebody proposes to you, it took your breath away, or it can be a bad thing because something so shocking happened that it took your breath away. And my gut instinct was it was some sort of probably a shock. And I said, it's either a shock that happened. Maybe I said, did you have any major something going on around Thanksgiving? You know, family drama, those kinds of things can happen. And she's like, no, you know, it was a great Thanksgiving. And I said, then my guess is that this was a trigger from some traumatic event at or right around that exact same day the year before. And her husband looked over at her with his mouth aghast and said, oh my God, it happens on the 1-year anniversary of my cancer surgery. So she didn't allow herself to really, she just had to be strong and get through it at that time. She never allowed herself to be scared. She never allowed herself to really release the emotions that you might need to, because she wanted to be strong for her husband. So that's,
yeah, she
really
probably went right to that vending machine at that point in time on that day.
I know the person. She probably did. She may have even deserved it. So that was such a neat example of how the conscious mind may forget, but our unconscious mind doesn't forget. So it was literally patterned in her mind that, like, I think it was like December 7th was that day, that anniversary of this super scary thing where she thought she might lose her husband. And so a year later, unbeknownst to her conscious mind, her subconscious mind was going, oh my gosh, you know, and freaking out reasonably enough. So that's how, like, triggers like that can happen but they happen all the time in all of our everyday lives. So, like, I had another woman who, she's like, I don't understand why I can never stand up to my boss. I practice it. I try to talk, blah, 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 you know, and she's like, the boss used the exact same phrase that her dad had used to scold her or to show disappointment. So every time her boss, exactly.
Big trigger.
Right? Trigger. She went right back to being like 8 years old. And that's all it was.
Yeah.
Here was this. And we do it to ourselves. We beat ourselves up so badly over and over again that we're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. Why can't we change? And really what it comes down to oftentimes are these little things that have happened within our lives, and our entire system is simply programmed to react from that remembered place, unconsciously remembered place. So.
Well, we're going to go to the phone lines in just a minute. I wanted to ask you how soon we can see results when we change our ways.
Well, honestly, I've seen people do it almost instantaneously. However, I always, always, always tell people that in the first, usually 7 days, there's a healing crisis. And I always kind of, at first I didn't tell people because I didn't want that preconceived notion in their brain and sort of set them up for that reality. But then 100% of people I worked with were having it. So I was like, well, I better just tell them and then they know what to expect. So what happens is as we're shifting those frequencies, it's like there's this last of the old trying to like sort of go out or go out of the body. And oftentimes you'll see, so like, let's say you have low back pain and, you know, you start working on some of those aspects. Maybe it has to do with a one-on-one relationship type thing. And you start working on that. Then oftentimes within that first 7 days, the pain will potentially get worse. And that's when you know you're actually on the right track, even though it's, kind of sucks and it seems like you're on a really bad track. So it's I've literally seen it 100% of the time, and it's fascinating. So the moment I see that come up, then I know we're doing good work.
Good. Sorry that it has to happen that way, but that makes sense. That gives me hope for myself. I wanted to put out your contact information to people that are on the line or who are listening to the podcast. Tara's on the World Wide Web, and you can find her at taramyerrobson.com. And Tara is T-A-R-A, Meyer is M-E-Y-E-R, and Robson is spelled just like it sounds, R-O-B-S-O-N, taramyerrobson.com. And we have another caller, so let's go to the phone lines, and I'm going to limit you folks to about 3 or 4 minutes apiece. So this is going to be short and sweet, and the first caller, the queue has changed a little bit. We lost a caller, so Amla, you're number one, and you're live.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Amla.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Tara?
What's your question, Amla?
What can I help you with?
I do have a question. This is somewhat, it's interesting you're talking about the guy with the shoulder issue. I do yoga, but I think, I'm not going to make my own interpretation. We only have so much time. But, okay, so I have rotation. Sorry, I always analyze myself, too. But I have rotation issues.
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay.
I have rotation issues with, you know, like in yoga, we do the whole rotation of your arm 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's left shoulder at the top of it. So I'm wondering what you feel.
Okay, so it's your left shoulder and it's the top of the shoulder. And what does it feel like when it doesn't rotate?
It hurts when I try to fly, swing it up. Like, so when it's going north.
Swinging.
Gotcha.
Okay, swinging up. Okay, and then quickly, and I know we'll try to move through these fast, but so when you say it hurts, can you describe the pain for me?
It's sore, it's achy. It's not a sharp, sharp pain, but I know what to expect now, so I'm careful with that, but
Okay. Well, left side, it's going to be a female, although I'm guessing in this case, it might be you. And that's not bad, just it might be you putting some pressure on yourself. So the fact that it's at the top, do you ever have a feeling of it like being like a pressure-y type aspect?
Yeah.
Like
a little. And aching, like a soreness. And it could be because I do yoga. I'm not sure, but it's definitely...
Well, it definitely, Yeah, it definitely can be, but the fact that it's showing up like this tells me, so the fact that it hurts when you're trying to swing up, my guess is actually this is you, and you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself, or you feel a heavy pressure. I think you have things you want to reach for in your life, whether it's a business, a book, a creative pursuit. Okay.
Yes.
That's what's happening. You feel like you're not able to swing yourself towards that. And you're putting a huge amount of pressure on yourself. The ache is that this is a real heart issue for you. So there's it's a deep, deep need. It's something that you, I think, are intended to manifest type thing. So my immediate thing for you would be, I would start with using an affirmation, something along the lines of, I easily reach up to my goals. What we need to do is basically cancel out the bad one. Well, I hate to say bad, negative, problematic. And so I easily reach up to my goals. And then I would actually ask that, since it's a heartache, I would also... Okay, so the immediate image I get is that I feel like you need to try to meditate. When you meditate, whether it's with yoga or even 2 minutes in the morning, it doesn't have to be even anything major. I need you to open. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm agreeing with you.
I want you to open up your heart. Imagine that you're literally opening up your heart and reaching up and see yourself reaching whatever that goal is. Like, and if you're not a visual person, then record yourself talking about that goal and listen to it. Are you visual? Like, can you close your eyes and imagine something?
Absolutely.
Okay, then.
I do that in yoga all the time.
Okay, great. Okay, some people aren't, and that's one of the things I work with people on is, like, some people are actually really strongly taste-oriented, and you need to find the taste that works for them. So in this case, if you're visual, go ahead and visualize that. But I really, really want you to visualize literally almost like doors opening up and swinging up and reaching towards that goal, whatever that goal is that you're doing. But let's also do something additional tangible. Like if you can tonight, I'd like you to write down like 5 steps you can take immediately towards whatever this goal is. So, and then I want you to try, like, literally say, that's it. Okay, I'm taking this goal. And then, like, do, and part, you know, make it small, make it something doable. But I think the second you start to actually do step forward towards those goals and make some tangible things out of this heart dream, I think you're going to see a complete difference in your shoulder.
Okay, that makes a lot. Because, you know, it's interesting because during the fall, it was, I couldn't even reach up this same shoulder. I've had a lot of traps in the back of it. So it's a lot of that. And my ribs are now open. I could tell now in yoga, like when I surrender, the surrender pose is wonderful.
Because
I feel like I'm like talking to divine spirit when I reach my hands up. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Good. See, that's all amazing. So I think what's happening is because you're increasing your awareness, this is now popping out right now for you because it's like, don't hold back. Go. You need to, this is part of your like heart mission. So you need to do this, whatever this is.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's what I would do. Please do follow up with me because I'd love to hear, you know, how things are going. And so do you feel there's a contact thing on my website and I love to hear from people. So feel free.
just one thing. I actually just messaged you. I really love your energy. We'll talk your Facebook message. Because I couldn't find your prices on your website, but we'll talk more.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay.
Thank you so much, though. I appreciate this. It was wonderful.
Oh, no problem.
Thank
now
you.
Go do
Thanks.
That stuff.
God bless. Okay. Moving on. Wendy is next, and Wendy, you're live.
Thank you very much. I'm 66, and I noticed recently, I feel pretty healthy, but I noticed on my hairline, looking at my forehead, kind of right in the middle of my forehead area where the hairline starts, there's like this round spot of an area where the hair seems to be getting thinner, and it's visible to me. I'm wondering why out of the blue this is happening.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay, so is there any physical sensation with it? Is it itchy? Is there any color with it?
Not really. Maybe a little itchy, but it's just, to me, I see it every time I look in the mirror, but I can rearrange my hair so that it's not obvious to other people.
Sure. And how big is the round spot? Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but how big?
Maybe the size of a pea.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Okay.
And there's
so maybe the size
of
a pea.
It's kind of raised a little bit.
Raised. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, like a round circle.
Okay. So my immediate thought on this one, you're saying basically not your forehead, like right at that hairline level, so between the top of your head really and your forehead.
Right. You see the hairline, but then I don't know, about 5 strands in, then you see like the round area that I'm talking about.
Okay, and it is raised slightly. What's it feel like? Is it bumpy? Is it just raised?
Like a small bump.
Okay. So for me, a small bump is immediately some blocked energy that's going on. That area tends to be actually, it's the area of your intuition, but it's also the area of being very connected to your higher power as well as your life purpose. And so the fact that it's in the middle also tells me that that's really likely that it's between those two things. Being a round spot, again, it sounds to me like it's that. So my guess with this one is, and you say the hair is just slightly thinner there?
Okay. Yeah, and it's alarming me at this point because it's become progressive, and I'm hoping that it'll stop and that I get some rejuvenation there.
Yeah, so it's progressive. So, like, when you say thinner, like, are we talking really, like, almost bald or just in the process of thinning?
I wouldn't say bald, but it's a spot that I've noticed.
Okay, gotcha. So in that section, my immediate thought is that you're feeling somewhat disconnected from a sense of maybe your higher purpose or what you feel like is going on or going towards the future. The fact that the hair is thinning, especially for a woman, oftentimes means that you feel like there is like a loss of your femininity a little bit or that kind of aspect. The fact that it's raised is telling me that you're feeling like there's like some sort of blockage in being able to connect with either that the higher power or your life purpose. I also am guessing, the sense I get is that you're actually a very intuitive person. And so I feel like there's something, I don't know if you're like blocking some intuition or blocking how do I describe it? Like a problem that's in your life that you're feeling like the solution might be there, but you're blocking it a bit. And that's almost like it's coming out of that aspect. Does any of that make sense to you?
Well, I've been through an awful lot of stress. I used to have terrible migraine headaches and I'd have to take a prescription medication, Imitrix, which is dangerous. And the good news is I haven't had a migraine headache in years and years.
That is great. Okay. So I'm guessing actually the sense I get is that you are a highly intuitive person. Migraines are almost always from people that are highly intuitive and they feel like either they can't bring the solutions to fruition that they want to, or that they're one guy that I worked with was literally like it. I kept visualizing a wine cork, like a wine bottle he's trying to pour wine out of, and this cork was there. It was like he's putting a cork on his intuition. And that's almost, I'm getting a similar sense on this. Like there's something that's supposed to be coming through as far as a solution. It's definitely stressy, but it's, I don't know. My sense is it's much more about because it's between that. It's between your intuition and the higher purpose. It's like I feel like there's this next step, higher purpose, that's trying to come in for you, and that there's this blockage, a little bit of a blockage. And I don't know, it seems almost like it has to do with you worrying if it's too late in life for that or something along those lines, and I'm not sure. Have you had any senses? Sort of like, it almost like you're worrying a little bit, like, is it too late in life to do that? Is there something around that?
Well, all I can come up with on that is that I feel young for 66, and sometimes people in business might say, are you still working? And I find that offensive because why not?
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
totally agree.
So, but I don't let that stop me. I keep moving forward, and I am intuitive, but I
think it's stress, but I do think that there's something, it's like I can feel like something's trying to come through that's not, for whatever reason, it's being blocked. I mean, is there something that you've wanted to do that's like different than where you're at, or that seems more in alignment with your,
I share an apartment with my sister and I don't like the apartment. I'd like to move. I'm going through a chapter 7 bankruptcy.
Okay.
I'll have to go to court probably in a month.
Okay.
Those situations bother me.
Yeah, I'd say. When did this start? When did you notice it?
You know what? I would say it got my attention really maybe a couple months ago. It probably was going on prior to that, but I got to a point when it became noticeable to me. And
Yep. Okay. All right. So now that's it. So it's literally like, because it feels quite like in my mind, basically, this feels quite solid, and it feels quite like a, like you feel like you can't bring these solutions through, and it's like a cork. And I think it's around wanting to move, not being able to move right now, and then the bankruptcy stuff. So my immediate thought for you would be to say something like, I easily bring forth solutions to live the life of my dreams. Something along that line. I easily bring forth. I allow those solutions to flow. Like it's around the idea of things needing to flow. I would also work on, I don't know if you do any meditation, but even if you can close your eyes and just imagine that you are connecting with whatever, it doesn't matter, like whatever higher power you might imagine or feel, however you want to call that name, that's fine.
Okay.
Imagine
well,
that you're opening
you.
Up. Yeah, oh, sure.
I know that David has other callers, so I think you've given me some good thoughts to practice, and I appreciate you so much.
Oh, absolutely. And please do the same thing I was just saying. Please do feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to do a follow-up and make sure that we got the right thing there.
Thank you. God bless.
Oh, you too.
God bless.
Thank you.
Oh, Deanna is next. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, David. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Are you in Jacksonville?
I was in Jacksonville. We moved recently to Denver, Colorado.
Oh, gosh, that's where I'd love to move to.
it is actually really beautiful and a lovely town.
Yeah, I visited like in 1986, and I really loved it. But I thought you were in Jacksonville. I'm in Miami. I thought, okay, maybe I could.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Miami.
Colorado is such a great town. There's so many mystics out there. I listen to one every week, and he brings
great.
On lots of people from Colorado.
Great.
His name is just like David. It's Dave the Mystic. And I'd love to go there because it seems like so many people are owning their intuition over there.
Yeah,
it's
great. It is. You're absolutely right. What do you have going on? What can I help you with?
I don't quite know. I know I'm heartbroken, and I think it's actually reflecting, translating into heart problems.
Okay, Doc. Yep. Okay. What's going on with your heart?
It's pulling a lot.
It's okay. Wait, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that word. It's what?
Pulling, like pulling up or pulling down. Instead
okay,
of pushing,
so you're
pulling.
Gotcha.
Pulling.
Okay. 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 Gotcha. Okay. So literally, like it's pulling instead of doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's kind of pulling the blood through, that kind of thing.
I don't know. I know that there's
okay.
It's a feeling like when you take a pressure
uh-huh.
out to both sides.
Uh-huh.
That's how it feels.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
About 2 months.
Okay. 2 months. Okay. 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 And are there anything else that's going on around that, though? Is there anything else? Like, are you having any skin feeling in that area, or
no,
or
just slight pain.
Okay.
Slight pain.
Okay. Okay. Slight pain. Okay. Okay. All right. So, and it's about 2 months. And is it more on one side or the other? Do you feel it more on the left or the right?
On the left.
Okay. Okay. Left side. Okay, so immediately with the feeling of pulling, it's actually going to be very similar. I think you probably heard the hockey player idea that I was talking about. The pulling is like, I feel like you're trying to pull somebody back in, or you're trying to, how do I describe that? Pull, it's like you're trying to pull these like love and positive emotions, and like instead of allowing it to flow, so that, you know, how the heart normally operates is everything's just sort of going in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, flowing through rather nicely. It's like instead of having the receptivity side, you don't trust that that's going to happen. So you're not just receiving, you're pulling. Does that make sense? It's like you're trying to make sure that you pull this in because you don't trust that it's just going to come to you. and so with it being more on the left side, I don't know if it's a woman that you lost a woman in your life, probably, so this has been 2 months, so probably three to four months ago would be my guess. So it's either that on the left side, or if you lost a man in your life, it's like this has been so overwhelming for you that you're literally, it's manifesting on the left side because the left side also is it's not just the feminine, but it's also so the feminine aspect of receptivity. So that would go along with this pulling aspect as well. It's like you're not trusting your feminine side. You're not trusting the receptivity side. You're just feeling like you need almost the action side of pull, pull, pull. Does that make sense?
I have to think about that. I've been trying to pull myself together. I've been going through a lot of stress for almost 10 years, loss of reputation, regaining it ever so slowly. A lot of things, you know, instability, financial instability, everything, it feels so overwhelming. And I think my heart is about to burst because I'm heartbroken about this.
Yeah. It's definitely around, there's no doubt that it's around loss. And I think it's because it's honestly, from the way that it feels in my body, is that it's literally, you are feeling like you can't see me. I keep pulling. So it's literally like you've had things sort of taken from you, and you're trying to literally grip and pull those things back into you, and there's an emotional connection to all of that. So that's why this is showing up like the elastic that gets stretched apart. And then or the elastic that's getting pulled. The other aspect of that that can be around the elastic stretching is basically feeling like you're going to be pulled apart at the seams. But
yeah.
Because it's your heart, so that is usually, I see that mostly in people, especially that have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. However, the fact that this is showing up in your heart is telling me that you're being pulled apart at the seams emotionally more so than oftentimes with like people with fibromyalgia. It has to do with like too many people tugging on them for like responsibilities. They're carrying too much on their shoulders there, et cetera. This, for me, it's inside your heart. So that's emotional. That means that this is all about your feeling of loss, your feeling of being, as you describe it, heartbroken over these things that you have had, and you're trying to sort of pull back into your life. So actually, for my immediate thought for you is that there's a really great exercise that I tell people to do, especially when they're dealing with heart stuff. And before I get to that, I do want to recommend, though, that I think, have you seen a doctor about the feeling in your heart?
I'll be seeing one within 15 days.
Okay. I just want to recommend you do see. I don't think it's anything major, but it does, you know, I just want you to make sure you just go in, just check everything out. I think it's fine, but I just think, you know, it's a good idea to have that checked out. But as I say that, the exercise that I would recommend that you do is, and I think it'd be really effective, is I want you to sit and meditate and imagine that you're in a really safe space. And then once you feel comfortable and safe, you know, put on music, put on whatever makes you feel comfortable and safe. And then imagine that you're inviting people into your space that have hurt you, have taken things from you, or things that you've lost that you're emotionally still attached to. Because I think there's some things. I really get the sense there's also, that's why I say things as well. There's some things that you've lost that also.
No, I lost everything that I, all the contents of my home.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So that's, okay. Yeah. And then that makes it even more so because the home, you know, the home is where the heart is, blah, 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 that kind of thing. So it can be a very emotional thing. So it's like you're trying to pull these pieces back together. That's the sense I keep getting. And that's why it's with you. It's your emotional feeling. So I want you to imagine you're pulling these things back in. Okay. And then at that point, look at each person or thing. And I want you to say very clearly and say anything you need to this person. If there's things you need to say that you never said, if there's things you need to say to the things you lost that you never said, I would recommend doing so. And then at that point, you can say something along the lines of, I forgive you and I forgive myself and I release you. And you actually look down and imagine that there's a cord or a chain or a ribbon, however it sort of shows up for you, that's fine, and that you actually cut that cord that attaches you to that individual or to that thing. And you see that individual or that thing sort of fade away. And what this does is it allows you to regain that sense that, you know, maybe you're getting like the closure and the forgiveness that you never got through this. The final thing, and I know we're getting close to time, but the next thing I would ask that you do is actually sit down and write out a letter to anyone or anything, even, again, things like the contents of your home. Write out a letter and just say anything that you feel like you need to say to that. And I almost think that might be better first and then do the forgiveness exercise. You're not actually sending the letter. You just need to get it out of your system. Go ahead.
Is there any affirmation that you suggest for me?
Yeah, for me, I think that, let me think this through exactly how I want to say it. Okay, I think it is, I release that which no longer serves me, and I trust that the good in my life is coming to me, or that all good is coming to me, something along those lines. So you're releasing anything from the past, and that's where we're going to be able to let go of that elastic pulling feeling. And now I'm trusting that good is flowing to me. And that's, I think, my gut instinct in just talking to you right now is that there's some old pattern, likely from childhood, that it's like, I don't know, things got taken, and you couldn't hold on to things. And there's some pattern there that's from way back then. So I think you need, if you can shift it with, I release things that I no longer need, and I trust that good or all the good is flowing to me, I think that would be a really good one to start shifting things for you. But I definitely think those two exercises are very important.
Thank you.
And going to the doctor.
I'll send you a message on Facebook myself.
Please do.
But thank
please,
you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for trusting me.
You're welcome. Oh. Thanks, Deanna. I appreciate it. Tara, question, and callers, hang on the line for a minute. Can you take one more call?
Yep, I'd be happy to.
Okay, the reason I'm saying that is we've got somebody that's been hanging in for quite a long while. And
sure.
For the others, if you want to get in touch with Tara, I'm going to give out her web address again. It's on the World Wide Web. It's TaraMeyerRobson.com. Tara is T-A-R-A, like the plantation in Gone with the Wind. Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, Robson, spelled just like it sounds, R-O-B-S-O-N, TaraMeyerRobson.com. And this caller's been on the line for 50 minutes, so I'd like to get to them.
Oh.
And they're from area code
please do. Yeah.
212. What is your name, please?
Oh, hello. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Karen in New York.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you. I have been trying to heal myself on all levels for such a long time, a lot of physical issues. I originally thought it was systemic candida, and through various hospitals and doctors, I've gotten some better, but never back to myself. And then the various people are now saying it's this, it's that, it's other infections.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have hormone imbalances and bone loss and hair loss and losing my teeth. It's like I'm just falling apart and I can't get a hold of it. So
okay.
Maybe you see a root cause or something to put it together. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So when you say you've been dealing with this a long time, how long? How long are we looking at?
Well, I have a feeling maybe all my life to some degree.
Okay.
But I've really liked this since 85.
Okay. So very long time.
Yes.
So I'm guessing, actually, the sense I get is probably this has roots in childhood. Okay, so then can you describe to me exactly what was the progression of what was going on? So you said they thought you had candida, so it was, were you having rashes? Were you having, what was going on with that?
Oh, severe gastrointestinal symptoms.
Okay.
A lot of gas. Okay. I couldn't leave the house. I kept running to the bathroom and nothing would happen. It would be gas and nauseous.
I'm feeling nauseous. Okay, so nausea.
Oh, heavy head like the flu. Just no energy. Just yuck. I mean, it wasn't like anything I ever experienced at its height. So I was very sick and very comfortable.
And all of these things. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I sometimes just jump in because my brain starts going.
Okay.
So all of these things were, all of these things were happening simultaneously.
At the height of it, yes. I had moved in with my grandmother. A lot of things happened emotionally. Anyway, I came down with something else, which was probably a cold. But at that time, I kept running to my doctor and gave me another round of erythromycin or whatever it was, and then it and I was never the same after that. That was it. And that's, I was very sick with all those symptoms that I mentioned, that I remember. And, I mean, I've been better from that in degrees and levels, but I never quite got back to myself. And I just, now I'm falling apart.
Yeah, no, okay. Hang on a second. I take notes while it helps my brain to work. Okay. So... quickly, do you remember what was the very start of this? Where, like, the very start, was it the cold? Was it the?
Well, I guess I had a cold, so that brought me to go to the doctor, and then I started taking the stuff, and I just felt worse and worse and worse.
Okay, and so let's go to the gastrointestinal stuff again. I know you said you had a lot of gas, which tends to be it basically tends to be the gut instinct I'm getting is that there was a lot going on in your life at that point where you were feeling like everything was coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what our bodies do when we feel like there's too much coming at us is either we gain weight, and we gain weight in usually where we gain the weight is oftentimes where the quote unquote, like I would call it, blows. So it's, if you can imagine, if somebody was telling you you had to go into a boxing match with a heavyweight fighter, you would want padding. And so our body reacts in the same way. So as soon as I hear the sort of gassy, bloaty kind of stuff, I think you're literally, it was like there was so much coming at you that your body was almost like blowing up a bit to make the blows less. So it's a protective thing the body sometimes does. As I say, sometimes it can be weight. A lot of times it can be weight, but it's in this case, I don't think that's it. The nausea, so I don't know exactly what was going on at that point, but the nausea aspect of it as well as the gastrointestinal meant that you were dealing with people that were making you feel like you weren't worth very much, or situations that were making you feel like you weren't worth very much, like your self-worth was actually being broken down and attacked. The nausea tends to be that it's almost like, you know, when we will say something like somebody punched me in the gut, like that, you know, it's like, oh, I got punched in the gut. And it could be like a very emotional thing. So from the sense I get is almost like you were having this emotional punch in the gut, so to speak, which was making it not, you felt nauseous, like stuff needed to come out. So it was kind of regurgitating from your center. Does that make sense for what was going on back then? I feel like it still has more roots back in your childhood. I don't know what exactly was going on with the childhood, and I probably don't have time to delve into that, but I think there's some roots there, but there was something going on like back in that period of time that was all of that.
Yeah, and my childhood, I had every possible disease and a history of pneumonia several times.
Oh, okay.
I remember getting locked shots in the tush of penicillin and missing practically a year of school. And so my mother had me do all the homework anyway, but then and I was in the like first reading groups, is supposed to go into the third grade from first to third. And even though I kept up with everything and I did well on the reports and the tests, the principal wouldn't promote me, and so my mother took me out and put me in a private school.
Mm-hmm.
Got well that year, so, and then after that we moved away. We had been living with my grandparents, so it's a very, you know, kind of an intense, complicated situation, and I really don't remember what triggered my getting sick. I'm, you know, my logical mind has gone over this and thinks that maybe it was related to my grandfather having a heart attack. I was very close to my grandparents
and what age were you that happened?
Somewhere around 6 or 7, I think.
Okay, 6 to 7. Yeah. But, I mean, my guess is like the pneumonia, as soon as I hear a pneumonia, it's usually that there's some pretty heavy, sticky, literally emotional stuff going on around the child. So that could definitely be, if you're really close to your grandfather and your grandfather passed away, that would definitely be. But there were also some other things going on.
But it severely changed his life, and he was homesick a lot for a long time.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I mean, I think you were picking up a bunch of that. The other thing, on a very practical standpoint, I'm wondering, the sense that I get also, did they ever test you for having, what the heck is that called? It's escaping me right now. But there's when you take antibiotics and your body, it kills off too much of the good bacteria. It's something C, it's a diff C or something like that, D-I-F-F.
Oh, C. difficile?
That's it. Did they test you for that?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wonder, because you were getting all this, you're getting so much antibiotic as well. Now, that said, do I think that the rest of this is still going on and that you may have manifested it around that? Absolutely, because people take antibiotics all the time and they don't get that. But if you were taking so much because you were dealing with so much, And real quickly, you said that you also had a heavy head at that point. Do you still have that? Like, are you still, because you said you're falling apart. So when I hear that, it's like, it's just like everything's going awry, and it would be the same in your life. So are you still having a heavy head and all of that?
Not all the time.
Okay. No. So it comes and goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's, I guess I didn't mention sinus issues, so I think it's related.
Oh, yeah.
The sinus,
yep,
getting, you know, some days are worse, a lot of days.
Okay,
but I don't have a lot of symptoms. I just sneeze and my nose runs and that kind of thing. And probably my
ears
are bugged.
And your ears as well?
My ears are, you know, I had gone to a specialist a year or so ago and couldn't really do anything, but I think it's related, and you know, sometimes it gets where the symptoms bother me, and a lot of times it's not so bad, thank God. So
okay.
I don't related to the
weather.
Humidity.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You could be. I'm guessing actually that you're probably really sensitive to like weather changes and things like that. That's definitely the sense I get. So however, it's definitely deeper than that. So my immediate senses, as I said at the as we started talking, is that I think this is coming from some emotional stuff from childhood and also from a feeling like for whatever reason, there was like not enough self-worth that was built up, good self-esteem, self-worth in your core. And that started, and then as you got a little older, there was some stuff going on around with that gastrointestinal, with the bloating, that there were people, or I guess people around you that were in situations that were like almost like body blows. However, now, like with the sinus issues are definitely that something right in front of your face is making you feel stuck. So there's whatever that is, I would pay attention to when you get the sinus issues. When you get it, is it like a blockage or is it like a pain? What's the sinus stuff going feel like?
Well, that's when my head is more heavy.
Okay, so that is the heavy. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. So that's
your heaviness.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm running a lot or sneezing.
Sneezing. Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay. So the heavy head and the, it's literally like this stuff is really weighing you down. So my immediate thought for you, one is I would actually see if they can make sure that they've tested you for C. diff and see if that's what's going on with, at least an aspect of this.
Okay.
Yeah. Something doesn't, that to me, I don't know. My gut instinct is telling me something's up there. And then with the sinus issues and the heavy head, I would try. So the sinus issues, as I say, and is there aching? Is it like an aching feeling in the sinus issues or just the heavy head feeling?
No, it's more the heaviness.
Just the heaviness. Okay, that's really interesting. Okay, so.
My mom used to get very intense sinus headaches, and thank God I don't have those, so.
Yeah, again, and like I was just saying to the last caller, it's like with the whenever I see like a lot of sinus headaches and migraine headaches, it's usually a fairly intuitive person that has stuff that's making them feel stuck and that they can't sort of let those things kind of flow through. And I'm not sure if anybody ever acknowledged like some of that aspect of yourself, sort of an intuitive side or something that you had to kind of put to the side for whatever reason. But the heavy head is concerning. It's like this is just almost beating you down. So I think you need some sort of reinforcement that you can have this all sort of heal and get better. Because this is like a lot, since you have a lot, and you want to see, I wish I could show you my paper. The way my brain works is I literally, it's like, I always feel like there's like a bunch of bubbles around, and I listen to what people are saying. And then like each little piece of information goes in a bubble. And then I start looking for the patterns. So I draw it out as I'm talking. So because there's a bunch going on with this stuff, like my immediate thing for you would be to do some sort of an affirmation around, it's like around, like I am good enough, like kind of thing. It's like around a self-worth thing. That's the gut. I am good enough. I can protect myself. I am safe. Like I feel like safety, like that kind of sense that there's, yeah, there might be drama going on around you, but that you can protect yourself, that you can create safety in your life. But the heaviness and the heaviness of the head is literally like that. I mean, do you feel connected to like a life purpose? Do you feel, or do you feel like there's more that you're intended to do in this world that you're not quite connected to yet?
Oh, I've been very frustrated because I can't get in touch with what I am supposed to do.
That's a heavy head.
I've said, you know, what I originally thought and wanted, I thought most of my life, had never come to me. Question, well, maybe that's not meant to be, so what is meant to be for me? And I never get any answers.
Yep. Okay. So that's where the heavy head and the sinus issues are coming from for you. Definitely. The sneezing is actually an irritation reaction to, I would pay attention to kind of what you're thinking about when you sneeze, because since it's not a direct allergy, I have a feeling that you may be having some sort of irritating thought about yourself, about a life purpose, about not living your life purpose. Maybe I would pay attention. So like when I do live events, I always notice if somebody starts coughing, I know darn well and good that that person is feeling some resistance, and probably that's an area they need to work on. So our bodies have reflexes on these kinds of things. So I would just start to notice like the sneezing, but the heavy head and that disconnection from your life purpose, or what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to, like, where am I supposed to be with this? You know, that kind of thing. That is the heavy head. If you can, if you don't mind, send me a note. You can send a note directly to my main email. It's Tara, Tara, at TaraMeyerRobson. Send me a note, because I'd like to send you, I think it would be helpful to send you something that actually is around building the life purpose. I have a feeling that if you can build that from the top down, I think you'll start to, like, things will start to align and fix for you.
Wow.
But yeah, it's just that. But again, I still would very much recommend, I think you need to have the C. diff test. Something's telling me that there's something up with that. Maybe you've already had it and maybe it's totally fine, but it seems there might still be something there.
I'll be seeing my doctor in a few weeks or so, so I will ask for that test. She keeps saying it's H. pylori, which I have protocol for. Something about me is holding me back. I don't know if I really believe it.
Okay. I mean, it could definitely be, but I definitely think there's definitely a gut imbalance there. Again, though, part of that, what will help that is building up that sense of self-worth. And I know we're running long, but I'll just tell you this quick thing. So there was a nurse that came to see me one time. And this is a lot of what this is reminding me of, even though it's two different manifestations of things. So she was this lovely person, and she had been dealing with acid reflux for 12 years. And it was so bad, it was actually eating her esophagus away.
Ooh.
And the stomach, though, was bloating. So I was like, okay, something, you know, she's been trying to keep some sort of emotional blows away that really have to do with her core self. And then the acid coming up and being in that esophagus area, it's like her sense, not having a good sense of herself, was actually eating away almost like at her vocal cords at that area. Even though it was the esophagus, it was as close as it could get to that. So I knew there was something going on with her feeling like she wasn't speaking her truth, and that it was coming from this low sense of self-worth that somebody had been beating on her about. Well, it turned out that her mom had actually told her over and over again, you talk too much, you talk too much. She had heard that her whole life. So the problem was, you see how that can manifest? So the problem was, she had a low sense of self-esteem, like there was something wrong with her, because she was a very outgoing, chatty person. And that was actually surging this acid, and it was literally eating away at her sort of vocal cord area, because she felt like there was something absolutely wrong with her, malignant with her, so to speak. So after we figured that out and she went home, we were able to get it to, like, completely go away, you know, totally go away, until she went to a party with some friends, a dinner party with some friends, and one of her friends across the table said, you talk too much. And she had called me up the next day and was like, oh my God, it came back with a vengeance. You see how the body, that trigger, that frequency trigger went boom, and triggered it right back up.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of sense I get from you. Not that somebody was telling you that you talk too much, but there's something you were blocked. It's like a slow, like a self-worth situation in the gut that you were sort of blocking or preparing yourself for these blows, so to speak, padding yourself for these blows, the nausea was a similar thing where it was like almost like you had this self-worth stuff was making you just like almost like somebody was punching you in the gut, making you sick. And then this heavy head stuff, which is definitely around the feeling of not having the life purpose, not having a good connection with who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be in this world. And I think those two things are working in tandem right now. So that's why I think I have some stuff I'd like to send you that I think would be super helpful for you, because it's a little bit more complex. I mean, you can solve it, but it's a little more complex. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll be happy to email you and look forward to whatever you can suggest. It'd be great.
Yep, absolutely. I definitely hope that that we can get to the bottom of it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for trusting me to do that.
Oh, I think you're
God
amazing.
Bless, man.
I was blown away by the other callers and what you were saying, so.
Oh, thanks.
Wonderful gift.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for taking the time to call in.
Okay. Thank you for taking the time with me, and thank you, David.
You're welcome, Karen. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Sorry to cut you off, Karen.
No.
Tara, thanks so much, and I appreciate you going over a little bit tonight. I know Karen
did
absolutely. Too.
Yeah, no. I'm always happy to help as many people as I can, so that's great.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to call you for like 1 minute after the show. I'd like to get you back on the schedule next spring, if you're willing.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, I'd love it. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. So once again, we come to a close. Let's take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.